You're listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of June 24th, 2015, and today we pick up the shambles of L.A.
George escaped from L.A.
Just barely.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alborg.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games.
That's right.
Before we jump into the yearly pilgrimage that is E3, I will remind people once more, next week we are going to be talking about Earthbound.
The final Earthbound.
Yeah, if we can defeat Gygas, this will be the final Earthbound podcast.
That's a big if. Yeah. That is a big if.
The plan is to talk about Earthbound through the end credits and then close the book.
Oh man, I'm excited about the end credits, actually.
Yeah. If you're following along, jump through, start leveling, man. Those like those star men don't fuck around.
They do not.
so get on it. Okay. But the business at hand this week is, as George mentioned, to piece back together our lives from the disaster, the disastrous, beautiful chaos that is E3.
It's true.
And fucking talk about some video games.
Oh, man, there was some stuff at E3. I got a plague.
Yeah, George got real sick.
Sick.
I didn't go to E3 and still got sick. And then I went
to... You're my sensei, Scott.
Yeah, exactly. I warped in, punched a bunch of people out of the airplane line so George could get back on.
You have no idea how badly I wish that were true.
I was off-site monitoring from the Bay Area. George was on-site breathing on everyone and getting breathed on. Let's talk about E3. Even though E3 is a monster...
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought this was one of my favorite E3s from the past years.
Sure.
Probably the past 3 or 4 years.
I think that probably universally everyone felt that way based upon basically everyone's dreams coming true. I think everybody had like one particular thing that they were like, yes, this did it. Oh my God, it's true. It's happening. For a lot of people, that was Fallout 4. For a lot of people, it was different things.
Mm-hmm.
I think generally people were pretty positive about this year.
I think we're going to talk about... there's a million things to talk about, but I think we're going to structure it by talking about the big press conferences and then grab bags of things that you didn't see at the press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I don't really feel like... I mean, it was featured at pretty much all the press conferences, but not in a... tangible way that I wanted to get your hands-on insight into. VR was a huge thing at this E3.
Was it, though?
I mean, it was, from all accounts, you know, Sony had 20 kiosks of Morpheus.
Yeah,
I mean,
Oculus,
you know,
was there.
Oculus was there. And Microsoft mentioned that they're partnering with both Oculus and Valve VR.
Yeah.
And they have their AR thing going on.
But... this year was the year I thought they were going to unveil, and here are the studios that we've attached to developing games specifically for VR.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I thought at the press conferences, you know, Morpheus was going to be a bigger deal on the Sony stage, and it wasn't. And I mean, I think it was probably mentioned briefly, but...
Yeah, it was a one or two line
thing. Yeah, it wasn't a huge thing. I thought Oculus would have been a bigger deal with Microsoft because of, like, the Windows 10 and the Xbox controller compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't as big of a thing either. I actually felt like it was a bit toned down. I feel like maybe people were reacting to the hardware attachment of the Kinect, and were maybe just didn't want to double down on VR yet. I mean, even
StarDock or StarBreeze rather, like has their, like, they bought a hardware manufacturer and are doing something
that's
with
true.
VR. Like, it just seemed like, I don't know, it just seemed like
I
VR
expected,
was there.
Like, everybody to be walking around with VR headsets. And, like, the lines were around the block and stuff, but, and I know that some people saw some really cool stuff that was specifically, like, behind closed doors stuff that I didn't end up having time to see, but, I don't know. For some reason, I expected it to be even bigger than it was.
Yeah. So the vibe there then was, okay, this thing exists, but there's not, like, we're not seeing Fallout on the Oculus, so therefore it's still a bit of a remove.
I think that's true, yeah. Right? Like, think of all of the biggest announcements out of E3 this year. Yeah. And while some of them, people were really excited by that, by Xbox Minecraft ARG thing they were messing around with, the biggest announcements were all just, you know, first-party titles and, like, you know, big hits that people have been waiting for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, this groundbreaking VR thing. Unless, of course, they saw something that I didn't see, which, you know...
I mean, I heard rumors and people on podcasts talking about, like, demos where they were, like, throwing VR objects to someone else in another room and they were able to catch it.
Really?
In the other, like, wow. Like, people were talking about playing, like, the equivalent of, like, ping pong with Palmer Luckey, like, in a VR environment.
That's the last thing I want to do. Like, I don't want
to. But, like, someone else was on the other side where it's like, okay, toss that thing to me. And they're able to toss it in VR and feel like you can catch it.
Right, like, yeah, because Oculus had the like, hand things.
They have, like, the next gen.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, yeah. I'm excited. I think it could be cool. But, yeah, sure, maybe. I just didn't see any of that stuff myself.
The AR stuff that Microsoft has demoed really well, but my experience with that stuff, it hasn't been the Microsoft stuff, but it's just been other AR stuff. But it demos well on a camera because they are able to fill the entire camera lens. But when you're actually wearing that thing, it's a much smaller section of your view.
Wait, what do you mean? Like, it doesn't...
Like the Minecraft thing. Like, it doesn't fill your entire view. It's a smaller window.
What?
Like, it's still a window, but...
So it doesn't feel like it's actually there?
No, it feels like it's there, but it feels like, remember, I don't know, you ever seen, like, the Google Glass stuff? Like, it's a smaller, it's still like a 16:9 window, but it doesn't fill as much as the screen as it fills on the camera when they're demoing it on camera.
Why?
Because, I mean, just the way that it works, it's slightly further away from your eyes. It doesn't fill up the field of vision as much, and so basically you're looking at kind of like a window through that stuff.
Like a screen on top of my goggles.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's not alternate reality.
I mean, but it's augmented, right? So it's like you can still see the world around you. I don't know.
If I shit on the floor, I have augmented reality in some way, right?
The Minecraft stuff I thought was pretty cool. Obviously, it was like a very like controlled demo or whatever, but they were talking about some stuff around, like, they had some stuff around Halo, like, they would project things on certain walls, so you would look to the right and you would see stuff that's in the environment or whatever.
I was thinking it'd be a cool, like, learning lesson. Like, if you could use that in high school instead of cutting open a pig.
Or it's like a tour, like, you go to, you know, a museum and it, like, overlays things, like, okay, here is what the railroad station looked like when it was operational. You know, like, you can kind of look through that.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. I think that's
like an
cool.
old, like an old timey
prospector swinging an axe
at
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So VR, maybe a little bit more. Still some stuff to prove. It sounds like, and it's just because there's not. I mean, this sounds really reductive, but like there's not real games on it yet. Yes. So like, yeah. Okay, let's talk about real games because I feel like this is. I was really excited because they were actually talking about video games. And I'm going to write something on Pop Matters about this. Just like, I just remember like thinking that there's like some actual positive excitement.
Yeah.
Like, where it's like, oh, sometimes in the past year or two, it's been, here's some excitement from E3. This guy made a rape joke on stage. Mm-hmm. And here's something that is vaporware. And here's a dumbass card game or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, cool, terrible excitements. Excellent. But now it's like, hey, you know, here's Fallout 4, and it's coming out in 2015, and like...
Yeah, this is everything you've ever wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Or here's, here's a secondary, like, iOS game that is not a microtransaction thing, it's not an energy-based thing or whatever. Right. Like, I thought there was, like, some positive excitement there that I really liked, and also... It was very video game focused.
Yes.
Did they even mention the Kinect one time?
I don't think they mentioned. I think maybe once it was like, and it would be great with Kinect.
Yeah.
If you had it.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't even show the picture of it. So maybe we'll start with some press conferences here. What do you want to start with? We got Microsoft. We got Sony. Well,
let's
we got
start with
EA.
Bethesda. Actually,
okay.
We'll you're talking about like video game friendliness.
And, yes.
I was able to go to Bethesda, EA, Ubisoft, and Microsoft press conferences. Okay. By the way. You're not missing anything by not going to these press conferences.
Yeah.
They stream them live these days. I'm not entirely sure why they do live venues anyway.
I mean, maybe if they're ever going to, like, pull an Oprah and, like, start giving shit away.
I mean, like, a car came down off a rooftop. Like, yeah. Okay.
That was...
Steve Gaynor was in it and just leapt off of it.
I was so annoyed that someone wasn't in that car. I wanted someone to step out of it. And here, 2016.
You know, it's Tony
like,
Hawk.
Yeah, like, God, why didn't they do that? Okay, so Bethesda. Fallout 4, right?
Fallout 4 was, the big news. That's what everybody wanted. The way that the Bethesda press conference was revealed, in my opinion, is the best way to do a press conference. Mm-hmm. Like, in the crowd, you could tell, was probably about, like, half press and half just diehard fans. Like, there were a bunch of people wearing, like, Fallout hoodies, and some of them had, like, I saw someone with a Pip-Boy tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were clearly a lot of fans
there.
Man,
that's crazy.
And the way that all of that stuff was announced on stage was very much, like, for the fans, here's some awesome stuff that we think that you guys would like. Oh, you know, here are a bunch of details about gameplay. Like, it's not behind... Everything that was shown is exactly what was going to be shown behind closed doors on the on the show floor. It felt like a press conference designed to reward those who they owe the most to, which is, like, the people who've been waiting for a Fallout game for, like, I don't know, 5-6 years now, right?
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool, just how that was done. And Fallout 4 looks fucking awesome. I was not even the biggest fan of Fallout 3. Yeah. I'm one of those guys.
But they had, like, New Vegas, too, and, like, that's, you're right, it's, like, 5 years in the making or whatever.
Yeah. I think it looks really awesome. I think it looks gorgeous. I'm excited to play in Boston. I only just went recently, and I'm so glad I did.
Yeah.
Because I noticed, like, oh, I recognize that, the Capitol building and things like that. So, yeah, I think
Fallout 4 looks cool. What is it with Boston? Like, remember The Last of Us was also Boston?
It's a foundational city, Scott.
Yeah, weird.
That sounds un-American of you.
I mean, I haven't really been, even like the old Fallouts, like I never played the old Fallouts. So, I mean, maybe this is going to be the one that'll get me into it. I think that like there will be some parts of this game, like the creation mode of it, like you know, super building intense. Your own. Yeah, like
I'm gonna make Femme Shep. I'm gonna try my best to make a female Shepherd.
Yeah, like it's just a. They just seem to be biting off a lot in terms of like creating their base and like doing a bunch of stuff. The base stuff
seems absurd. Yeah, like, there are levels. There are stuff that they showed off that's like. I'm probably not going to play around with that
because
I will be bad at it and it will take forever.
And sometimes, and like some people are like only going to do that, you know, they're just doing a lot of stuff.
I mean, even they're having the Pip-Boy, the actual physical
Pip-Boy. Have you reserved your $150 whatever, like
no, Pip-Boy thing? If I were really into Fallout, hell yes, I would do that. Why not? Like put it in display, like, you know,
on and also desk. It seems like there's going to be just the second screen it thing anyway, where it's, you know, you could just have it on your iPad or phone next to you or something like that.
And slot your phone into your Pip-Boy and look like a real jackass as you like.
I'm just gonna duct tape my phone to my arm and play that game. Yeah, I thought that looked pretty cool. I didn't really follow Doom very closely. Like, how was that? Doomish?
It was Doomish. Yeah. I have zero interest in Doom. Okay. I just like quick shoot 'em ups. Mm. I don't know. I'm over them.
I saw the CG trailer that they had for Dishonored, which looked... I mean, Dishonored was one of my favorite games of the last generation.
I'm real hyped for Dishonored, too. The female protagonist with some, like, crazy Shadow Beast moves.
And it's what's-her-name? It's the Emily. Daughter, from
I wonder... It'll probably... I guess I wonder what the canon is,
right? Yeah, the because canonical
she's
ending.
She's either good or bad based upon your decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they show any gameplay of it later on, or was it just the,
I think it the was, CG thing? I think it was just the CG thing, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that was all in-engine and...
I mean, the other thing is that's a really known quantity to me. Like, Dishonored? Here's another Dishonored. Great. That's exactly what I want.
This is how I generally feel about going to E3 anyway, right? Which is why I sort of think, like, you know, I tell people all the time I hate going to E3. And I mean that in a loving way because I really enjoy the games. Mm. I enjoy video games generally, but all of the best, most exciting games I know I'm going to play.
Yeah.
I don't want to see them. I legitimately don't even want to watch a trailer.
Yeah.
If I had just heard, like, Dishonored 2 is coming out and never seen anything again, I'd still be playing it.
Yeah.
And I feel that way about a lot of the games that were, like, announced this year.
Yeah.
I don't need to go see Tomb Raider or check out gameplay, because I'm going to be playing Tomb Raider.
Yeah. I also like Todd Howard as a stage guy.
Totally,
like, he was just way more legit than, like, whatever CEO have out there.
I mean, it's so funny. Like, I went to the Oculus press conference before E3.
Yeah.
And this guy who, you know, all of these guys seemed really authentic back when Oculus was first launching, and they had the stage presence. Like, everyone has a sort of built-in stage presence that is clearly... like a rehearsed PR thing, yeah. which is fine.
Oh, they're reading off a teleprompter, yeah, like you gotta do stuff.
It, right? But yeah. you're right. Todd Howard comes off as really charismatic and genuine and authentic.
And he actually says some like kind of, oh, this guy knows about video games. Like, you know, he kind of admits, oh, you know, people didn't like this, or we know people like this, and like he uses terms from video games, and it's like it's. There's very little marketing speak, so which is nice.
That's how it should be. And there's a few people who stand out. Like, I think Reggie Fils-Ames is a likable guy.
Yeah, you especially know? As a puppet.
Yes, especially as a puppet. Loved that.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Anything else from Bethesda that we want to hit on?
Those were the big hitters, right?
Okay, I think so. All right, what else we got? We got Ubisoft, we got EA, we got Microsoft.
Ubisoft and EA are roughly, you know, the same third parties.
Yeah.
They show up in a lot of other stuff.
God, the Ubisoft press conference was such a train wreck, though.
That was the one
with Aisha. I mean, she's really good, but what she has to work with is a disaster. Yeah.
But to be fair, she's great.
No, she's great.
That's actually one reason for the live events that actually works, I think, is she's charismatic. So watching her on stage.
But I mean, she's an actual professional actor and comedian. Yes. And you can tell versus the people that just say one speech a year, you know, like.
Yeah.
The Ubisoft, where, like, she sat down next to the cosplayer guy and the cosplayer was like, oh, I'm just here to bear cosplay. And I was like, oh, I'm dying. Like, I'm dying.
Make a meme. Make a meme. Yeah. Right, like, and I was like, Aisha, you just made a meme.
Yeah.
Awkward Ezio meme.
Or like Jason Derulo comes out and like gives this whole like song and dance and the crowd is just deathly silent the whole time.
This is the weird spot that Ubisoft is in though. Like Just Dance is hugely successful for them.
But the it's crowd such a moneymaker. I'm like, guys, if you would try to buy tickets to a Jason Derulo concert, you probably couldn't get one for less than $100. Like this is like a big deal. Like
that he's performing live in front of you right now.
Also, I'm pretty sure he performed that live. Like based on the vocals, I was like, wow, this is not dubbed. Like he's just doing a thing right now, like. But apparently, no one gives a shit.
People next to me literally were like, "Who's Jason Derulo?" Yeah. I'm like, I don't know.
You're like, "Go on Spotify, idiot."
I think all of Ubisoft's games look really cool, though. Yeah. Like, it's weird. You're right; they're in that weird position. Yeah. But I think Assassin's Creed looks like it's an improvement on the past ones.
I mean,
if
Assassin's Creed runs, it is an improvement on the last one. Remember last Assassin's Creed? It was the broken.
Face melting.
Yeah,
stuff?
Like
sure.
I mean, the biggest thing that I got out of Ubisoft was they're making another South Park game. And I was like, done.
Yeah.
Excellent.
People were stoked about that,
Well, it's because Matt and Trey said that it was a terrible process and they're never going to make a video game again. Right. And then they even made a joke about that on stage. And they said something like, we finally, by the end of South Park, we figured out how to make a video game.
A good one.
But by that time, it was too late, so we decided to do it again.
Which, by the way, like, that's actually a really good reason to make another one. Like, they have a good team, they know the process. And this one looks like it's actually a different genre as well, right?
Maybe. I mean, it's a different milieu. Like, the kids have their superhero personas rather than their fantasy personas.
The fractured butthole.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Good one.
So I like that again. Ubisoft had a lot of good hashtags, like hashtag never ride alone.
That's like the tattoo I have on my lower back, actually. So, Ben,
ask me, I mean, so if you asked me, like, what I thought about The Division, I would be, I would say, like, I'm totally neutral on The Division. After seeing this, I think I'm actively hostile towards The Division.
Okay.
Because it seems really, like, bleak and cheesy and ugly. And also, like, do I really need another game that allows people to be idiots to each other online?
Yes, the answer is yes.
But, like, do I really need a mechanical incentive to do that? Or should it just be like DayZ and we should let the darkness come out of its own accord?
I mean, there's a mechanical incentive in DayZ. If you're starving and that guy has food.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not food. Like it is a multiplayer mode like Kane and Lynch did something like this where like you could like you steal the stuff and like you know you could either run away with the money with your team or you could try to turn on them or whatever. It's very much a point based thing. It's not an emergent based thing.
I see.
I don't know, The Division just looks like really like
I don't actually think more could... excited for The Division. Here's the one, five words that popped out at me. There was loot.
Well, that's the thing. They're making a fucking MMO. Like,
yes, that's exactly why I was excited.
Sure, we need another shooter MMO.
The whole time at E3, I'm at E3, I'm like, man, I wonder what Sore is selling this week in Destiny. Like, and also, exactly. I'm into like Pharmatheric Light and stuff. I like Destiny. I like that it's an MMO.
$40 like enough to like buy another thing in Destiny? King? Like, yes. I don't know, man. I just like, what are they doing?
My thinking is like, I am drawing the Destiny experience. It's not something that you can really find elsewhere, like a shooter MMO. I guess there's like Planetside and stuff, but not in a way that like looks and feels AAA in the way that Destiny does and is as tight. If the Division is an open world and they're moving that entire thing towards like an MMO base, like, oh, I randomly encounter other players and now we're doing this mission together, I think that could be pretty cool. At the very least, it's more interesting, because what is your alternative? I mean, the way they had it before was like, okay, it's open world, bleak, New York City. There's been a virus and go. It's a tactical shooter now.
Yeah, I mean,
at least it seems different.
I guess. I don't have faith in them that. I don't have faith in a console shooter MMO, especially after, like, if Bungie can't do it, I really don't have faith.
But Bungie can do it. Destiny is a huge hit.
I mean, it is a hit, but people do nothing but complain about Destiny.
Yeah, but people complain about Destiny while they're loving Destiny.
Like, I mean, people complain about cigarettes while they're dying from cigarettes. Like, I mean, like, it's just...
Touché, Scott.
I feel like Destiny does not have the thing that, like, WoW had that also made it a good game. Like, Destiny's a good game because of the shooting. Destiny hasn't proved to me, or I think anyone else playing it, that outside of the mechanics that Bungie can do very well, that they know what the fuck they're doing when it comes to economy, or when it comes to quest design, or whether it comes to, like, you know, I mean...
Definitely economy.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just don't... That stuff takes a lot of time, and when you're a developer that does a lot of different... When you're a publisher that has its interests in many different genres...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird.
But there are things that an MMO can do that other games can't, right? Like, when I group up with a team and we're, like, doing, you know, we're doing a raid, basically, and we're taking it seriously, right? Like, at the height of that experience, that's something that is reminiscent of some of the best moments I experienced in World of Warcraft, for sure, right? Which is, I think, quintessentially an MMO experience. That's something that Destiny provides. Maybe it doesn't provide enough of it to be compelling for a lot of people, but it's enough for me and certainly a lot of the people that I play with. If somebody else is experimenting to reach those same heights, then great. More power to them. It's probably better in my experience than aiming to just be, you know, another third-person shooter on the market.
What's the, is it the Rainbow Six thing that is like the hostage
Rainbow situation Six Siege. That thing? Yeah.
I mean, like, to me, that's a bit more interesting just because it is an alternative, like it's a scenario-based thing rather than like a quest grind type thing.
Right.
I don't think that game's probably going to work very well because you'll need a bunch of people that are all serious and like...
Tryhards,
as it were. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to get enough people involved to do that. let's see, what else? What was the one where they had like the...
Oh, not Siege, then Rainbow Ghost Recon.
Oh, was that Ghost? Okay, yeah. So I'm confused at, like, there's a lot of Clancy happening.
Yeah, it hasn't even dead for, like, a decade or something.
I mean, like, there's just a lot of Clance. And so you got the... I actually thought Angela Bassett, like, again, when you get a real-ass actor to do stuff, like, I was thinking that...
She's great.
Yeah, I was like, oh, these lines aren't that good, but, man, the way she's delivering them, this is excellent. And I was like, oh, that's Angela Bassett. No wonder, she's a real actor.
Yeah, like, I kept thinking, we don't deserve Angela Bassett. Like, we as an industry don't deserve her.
It was interesting to see that. I mean, yeah, Ubisoft is a really... To me, they're just a really big question mark. Like, all that stuff that they show on stage is like, I don't know how any of that stuff's gonna turn out. Right. Like, I don't know. It's weird. Let's see, is there anything else that we got? Oh, how about the guy with the cane that came out?
Oh, for Honor?
For Honor, yeah.
Yeah, that was like a chivalry, like...
Yeah, that's a MOBA, by the way.
Is that a MOBA?
Because
you've got, like, other soldiers and stuff?
So, this is the big thing that people aren't realizing in E3 is that half the games shown were, like, MOBAs. Yeah, where it's like, oh, here's 4-on-4 thing, and, like, you have a bunch of, like, other... I mean, it's a fighting game plus MOBA, but, like, the MOBAization of games is continuing full force.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, there's a bunch of creeps that are as part of your army, but then there's 4 hero characters that are on the map, and they're fighting 4 other hero characters that are on the map.
That's
like,
true.
Yeah.
Did you half expect this guy to whip a sword out of his cane?
I was like thinking about Bloodborne, like it turns into a whip.
The guy was so metal, man. He was so into what he was doing. He's like a spokesperson for Ultimate Warrior. Like, have you ever wanted to see a samurai fight a Roman knight? Yeah.
I mean, I guess that game is cool. I saw some gameplay of it where there was kind of stance based combat, like a Bushido blade looking thing or whatever. Sure. I don't know. I heard that they had that stuff playable. Did you ever?
I did not check it out.
I don't know. It seems fairly early, but I am almost sure that that thing is a MOBA.
I could buy it.
Yeah. And not like, you know, like Dota, but like it is a thing where kind of like the new Halo game that is also a MOBA. But maybe before we talk about that, we can talk about EA real quick.
Yeah.
I thought EA was probably one of the weakest, in my opinion. Like they didn't have a lot of stuff.
I think Unravel looks really cute.
Yeah. It kind of brought me back to like 2007. It's like, here's like a quirky platformer, you know, like, they're doing a Mass Effect. They finally
Are you throwing shade on Hoop God, Scott?
No, I'm not.
The God of Hoops was there. We were blessed. We had a religious experience.
You know, that was the other thing. EA spent a lot of time on their sports stuff, which is obviously kind of above my head because sports games are too complicated for me these days.
Yeah, speaking of which, though, I actually think I might pick up the FIFA game.
Yeah, I mean, they have that thing where it's like suggestions about what you might want to do. Like, I don't know.
It's really easy to churn out another sports game, and that actually seemed like legitimately different or at the very least helpful for me, who's never been very good at those games. Yeah. Plus, they're adding the female roster, which I feel like you have to reward, even if it's something that should have been done a long time ago.
I mean, I think even just thinking about that press conference, like they, you know, they'd say, and we're doing Madden. Let's take a look at what you can do. You can build your own roster. And like, they literally have a huge, jumbotron of cards. Like they're like reading stuff, like here's some things you can do. And like, they're not showing the game. They're not showing anything. They're just like talking about like the philosophy of what their game is. Like they do that for a long time. Like they brought out Pele for like 10 minutes and he like rambled about something for a while.
I love that. Like, so many people in the audience like didn't know who Pele was. And it's like, guys, this is one of the best soccer players of all time.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it'd be the equivalent of, and here's, you know, NBA 2K, or sorry, not 2K, NBA Live, whatever, like, and here's Michael Jordan for 10 minutes, you know, like, sports games have gotten so specialized that what they talk about during them, I mean, it's like if you were to have a League or Dota conference and you're talking about like small tweaks of like here's what we'll do to the shop these days, you know, like
it's but they have to do it, like, because there is an audience there.
They spend a lot of time on that stuff, and you might not have, were you there live?
I was,
okay, so when you were watching the stream, they had a pop-up that would scroll across the bottom of the screen every once in a while telling you how much time it was until Battlefront.
No way. What?
Oh, yeah. So when you were watching the stream, it was like 35 minutes till Battlefront. And I was like, man, they are really undercutting whatever they're doing right now.
I saw people tweeting that, and I was like confused by them saying they're reminding people Battlefront is at the end.
Yeah. And it's like, in 15 minutes, we'll show you, you know, Madden or something. So, like, every single thing that brought up was immediately undercut by the thing that you really wanted to see.
But hey, like, again, that's how you do it, because they have to satisfy all audiences, you know?
So sad. I think, they had the Mass Effect stuff, which was fine. I think that's smart.
Yeah, Andromeda, sure. Mirror's Edge,
Mirror's Edge, what is it? Catalyst.
A prequel. No guns this time.
No guns.
That is right there the most exciting news out of
E3. Well, did they say, I mean, they said no guns for Faith, but are they going to have guns for her enemies too?
Her enemies might probably have guns.
I mean, I think it's smart. They made some mention about it being like open world or something, which I thought was kind of interesting. Let's see. Anything else that they... I mean, Battlefront, obviously.
We'll get there in 5 minutes, guys. Yeah. Keep listening.
5 minutes, Battlefront. I think that game looks huge, right?
I think it looks awesome. I think it looks so good.
I wonder... Like,
I like DICE a lot.
Well, and also, like, what is the audience of that game? Like, are they trying to steal Battlefield people away? Because it really looks like they are. Like,
sure.
First person, you know?
Yeah.
It's just...
I mean, I think there's always going to be the hardcore Battlefield players who want the, like, modern shooter experience. Yeah. But yeah, there's so many people. The people who are scared away from Battlefield now because it's just tryhards and like hardcore players, right?
Yeah.
I did get a chance to play Battlefront, and it's awesome. It feels really great. The visuals, like the way a blaster looks when it explodes.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like the way a laser would actually fire.
Yeah.
It looks the way that in 1980s.
Yeah, a Star Wars laser.
Star Wars laser would be created in a studio. Like, yeah. That's how it looks, which it just feels so good. I love it.
The sound is really striking to me. Like hearing all that stuff.
I don't know how I feel about, like, Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker.
The hero character type
thing. I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it in action yet, so we'll see.
But... Yeah. I mean, I think that's... In the context of a modern shooter, like, what do you do for a perk system?
Yeah.
Like, you have to have some sort of perk system. You've
unlocked Darth Vader? Yeah, exactly. Is there going to be, like, 5 Darth Vaders looking under the map?
Vader inbound.
It's just like a box opens up and like Vader's inside the box.
I grab the Vader.
Yeah, like we have to get to the Vader. Come on.
I think that game is going to be pretty cool. Did they say anything about the other kind of secret Amy Hennig Star Wars thing that's happening?
No.
Yeah. I wonder what's up with that. Because I haven't heard anything about that for like a long time.
The single player game.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever they're working on at Visceral, I guess, is what they're
doing. Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, anything else EA?
I think that's EA.
Yeah. Square Enix had one. I watched that.
I didn't watch that, actually.
What do they
have? Final Fantasy stuff?
A lot of Final Fantasy stuff. They're redoing Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, right.
They have Just Cause 3 that is coming out, which actually looks pretty fun.
Yeah, Just Cause looks... I never knew that I wanted to ride the underside of a helicopter while shooting a missile, but now I do.
It looks like they took a lot of... Like, they really paid attention to, like, the mod community for Just Cause 2, because now you can, like... You can grapple two things together.
Together.
When they
shut that off, they're like... You can, like... He does it, like, 5 times.
Yeah.
That is so funny. I find that endlessly hilarious.
Your C4 never runs out. You just have unlimited C4, so you can, like, do whatever.
I cannot wait for the gifts. Like, the wackiness is going to... Because people are going to attach, like, a cow to a helicopter to another helicopter, and it'll make this, like, weird gyroscopic cow.
Yeah. Platinum Games is working on something for them. Mm. They had a guy come out for... I think it was that game, but he was wearing a mask. Kind of like
Oh my god, this was the moon guy.
Yeah, it was the moon mask guy.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
It just scared off so many viewers.
It was kind of like a weird, like, Suda 51 Kojima-esque type thing where the guy just came out in this weird, like, evil jack-in-the-box looking mask.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah. So I admire them doing weird stuff.
Sure.
Obviously, they had Tomb Raider stuff.
Yep.
They had some Deus Ex, mostly cinematic stuff, but, like, it kind of give you the look and feel of it.
Yep.
That game looks pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I saw some Deus Ex gameplay. I still haven't finished Human Revolutions.
It's a big game.
It looks really cool.
They made some, like, overtures to, like, choice being a bigger deal, because I feel like the big criticism of the last game was that at the very end it was basically like a choose button 1, 2, or 3 type thing.
Yeah.
They
added women into the game as enemy combatants.
Oh.
So finally you can kill women.
Feature. Yeah, finally.
I mean, it's one of those funny things. It's like, I'm glad they did it, but also that's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. A weird bullet point. Let's see. Oh, there's a Hitman. There's Hitman stuff coming out. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, like, weird, like, kind of pre-DLC stuff.
Yep.
And then all leading up to another Hitman game, which is a franchise I've never really been into. I don't know if this will get me into it or not, but it's just, like, one of those, like, Hitman and Splinter Cell.
Yeah,
like I've never gotten into those franchises.
There are people who love both. The Hitman series is really known for, like, being almost open world or having free reign over how you choose to execute your hits.
I think it's like the same thing why I like Dishonored is why people
Hitman. I think that's an accurate assessment.
Yeah. They had some more stuff on Kingdom Hearts. I don't know.
Woo!
Someone's gonna
love those games too, man. I don't know.
Someone's gonna beat me to death with a key for saying anything bad about.
I mean, like, if I had more time in my life, you know,
yeah.
I would check those games out.
All right, shall we shift over to the console?
Microsoft.
Yeah. So I have the most notes on the Microsoft one.
Oh, really?
I think it was just because it was most surprising to me.
Yeah, we talked about AR a little bit already.
Yeah.
They announced backwards compatibility.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's just so think about 2 years ago when all they talked about was cable TV and here's your box and, you can, and you can talk to your Kinect and like, here's all your apps on your Snap screen. Like, jack shit about that now. Yeah, like it's all about games. Yeah, like
you know what? Someone on Twitter had a great tweet that I really liked, and it was like, "Wow, the success of the PS4 has been really good for Xbox One owners," which I think is totally accurate. Yeah. Like, I think that this is the press conference that people have been wanting, right? And people were generally really happy with what was unveiled. Like, you know, they had the Rare Collection, which got a lot of people into those old games excited.
That's like 30 games, by the way.
Yeah, 30 games. Yeah. Banjo-Kazooie, Battletoads.
Yeah.
Finally, when you call GameStop, they do, in fact, have Battletoads.
God, that's going to be hell for them.
Oh, yes, it will. Yeah, I think people were stoked.
So, like I said, Halo has a MOBA in it now.
Halo's got a MOBA in it, I guess.
They have just the big... They're calling it Warzone or something like that.
That seems cool. I don't know. I want to play it.
I mean, that's like Titanfall, right? Like, that's the reason why I love Titanfall, because it's
like... It felt more like a Battlefield-esque to me, like a huge match, right? Like, what is it, 16 on 16, presumably?
I mean, I don't know how many humans are, but there's like... You can get points for destroying these named enemies in the map, or you can get points for, you know, defeating your human enemies or whatever. Yeah. Master Chief has gone rogue or something. I don't know. Nathan Fillion has to track him down.
I'm so excited. Yeah. Nathan Fillion is in the game, by the way. Like, we love ODST.
Has that same character.
Has the same character. Yeah, like, that's awesome. I think that's great.
You brought him back. Let's see.
Need to get an X-Bone.
And after this, after this press conference, I was like, oh, I think maybe 2016 I might get an Xbox, because a lot of this stuff is still coming out in the next year sometime or whatever, so you got some time, but there are things like ReCore, which is like a total surprise to me, didn't know what that was.
Totally new game, looks really cool.
Part of the new trend of fighting robotic animals that we'll talk about a little bit later. So,
it's a MOBA. It's probably a MOBA.
I don't know what it is. It seems like I forget what that game was where it's almost like Space Station Silicon Valley, where you're like putting the core into various types of animals to solve puzzles. It's like, oh, I need a gorilla for this thing, but I need a snake to, you know, sneak
away.
Yeah,
that's what it seems
like
to me.
Yeah. So Bethesda said something real crazy during the Microsoft press conference, and they said that mods will be available on the Xbox One for Fallout 4.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see how that's technically possible.
Well, they said that they have to approve it. So
okay,
it
so might it's a subsection.
Over, yeah.
Okay.
So it's not like, oh, you can just pick.
Right.
Like, I think that what Bethesda is doing is they pre-approve some mods that have already been released and then make them available as DLC.
That makes sense.
So in that way, it's still not as timely as of a mod experience as you'll get on the PC market, especially considering there are updates that come out on mods all the time.
Yep.
That being said, that's a really compelling reason to play. Like, if you have both, that's a very compelling reason to play on Xbox One over PS4.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm sure some of the mods are going to be really cool. Like, people act real fast.
Yeah.
Bethesda's always done a really good job with supporting their modding community. So.
Yeah. Let's see, what else do I got here in my notes?
Or you can just play on PC and say, fuck it.
Well, I mean, that was the interesting thing about both the PS4 and Xbox conferences, where it's like, and it's making its console exclusive debut on the, like, and it's like, there's just, there's less and less, you know, like when you see things like Tacoma or something like that, or Cuphead, or...
How crazy is that, man?
Yeah. Like, when I was watching the Microsoft press conference, and like all of a sudden they panned over to Steve Gaynor, and I just started laughing out loud. Like, not at Steve Gaynor, but like, just like, what is Steve doing there? Yeah. Like, he's just on stage talking about, like, and here's an exploration, emotional exploration of space. Yeah. It's like, you just like came from,
we've
like,
come a long way, baby.
Yeah, like, it's just so weird. But that game looks incredible. Yeah, I mean, that game's gonna be amazing, but it's just funny that he is there on the same stage that they are announcing, like, Gears is back. Here's you know, here's the do-rag, everyone. Like, here we go. And then here's Tacoma. You know, like...
Exactly.
And
Beyond Eyes. And,
I thought that game looked incredible.
I checked it out. It looks really good. I like Beyond Eyes a lot.
I thought that's an incredible-looking game. Cuphead.
I played Cuphead.
God, that game was amazing. Holy shit, Scott. Yeah.
Cuphead is really cool. I'm really looking forward to it.
I cannot wait to play that game.
It is crazy hard. Every level is actually like a bullet hell, madness nightmare.
And I heard it's kind of like a boss rush almost.
Yeah. I played like a few levels.
Mm-hmm.
Every level is that's it. It is like you were fighting a boss,
and
it's a bullet hell, and good luck.
Yeah, man. The level of care they're putting into just like the animation and stuff is amazing. Let's see. So now that I've said something good, let's start talking shit again. Xbox Game Preview.
What is that? That's where you can play a game before you buy it?
No, this is their... Well, yes, you can, but it is their early access thing.
Oh, God.
So I wrote down Xbox Game Preview, and then the next bullet is boo.
Early access, I don't like it, the concept.
We saw how Steam ruined their marketplace. Therefore, we are going to port this to the Xbox One.
I'm not optimistic about that at all.
People
like it. I mean, some people like early access.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we kind of play both sides of the fence here, right? You know, like, we know people who have benefited from early access. We have played early access games. Like, I totally get...
Unintentionally and intentionally.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing that bugs me about it, where, like, Steam has done a thoroughly ambiguous thing, which is allowing unfinished games to get out into the general public, and it's done a lot for, like, what do we even consider a finished game these days? What are people's obligations when money is exchanged?
And we haven't even come to Sony's press conference yet.
Right. And it's like, I don't... It's one of those things that I have zero faith in Microsoft to do correctly.
Yes.
And I do not want to see a bunch of weird, like, alphas and stuff, you know, blasted to everyone on the front page. I just don't think that is a responsible thing to do.
To me, this seems like a way for them to attract more indie game developers.
Yeah. Yeah, which is fine. But, I mean, I don't think that's the only way you can do that. Like, Sony's been quite successful in doing that for years without having this system in place. So, like...
And I think ID at Xbox is doing it, right? Like, they're giving a bunch of money and design teams to independent designers.
I mean, maybe the fact that consoles are generally more locked down will be helpful because there is more of a curatorial aspect to it, whereas Steam is just like the Wild West, man. Like, you load up Steam and it's hard to even know what's an actual game on it anymore. So that was pretty interesting and a little bit scary. So the new Fable game is free to play.
Sure. Are you surprised?
That was really weird. They made a big deal of not only with Fable, but a couple other games. You know, Microsoft is really pushing Windows 10 very hard. And I think a lot of that is just top brass at Microsoft. Like, Satya Nadella is like a huge difference from like the Ballmer era of Microsoft. And I think the next few years actually could be really good for that sort of thing.
Yeah. When does Windows 10 come out, by the way?
They're starting it later this summer.
Wow.
And they're upgrading everyone who's on Windows 7. So they want... I mean, Microsoft always has... Like, they're like the sleeping giant. Like, they have this idea of, like, a unified ecosystem. And if they can pull it off, I mean, it's almost unstoppable. The problem is they're weak on execution.
Right.
But, you know, the way that the Xbox is going and the way that Windows is going actually looks closer than it's ever been.
Right.
So, I mean, that... It's interesting looking stuff. Like, I can see that as an ecosystem.
Yeah.
Yeah. The VR stuff I thought was extremely impressive in that demo. There's just a lot of, like, little cool games. There's a game called Ashen that I thought looked pretty neat.
Oh, yeah.
That was the one at the end that had that, like, crazy, like, whale thing.
Yeah,
that
almost
came
like
out.
Shadow of the Colossus style. Yeah, that looks cool.
Steve's game I thought looked... There's just, like, a lot of, like, very video game focused content, you know?
Yeah.
Remember, like, oh, we're gonna have a Halo TV series, and like, remember all of that stuff? Like,
oh man, I forgot it. Yeah. What is happening with it?
I think it's probably dead. Like, oh, I mean, like, I don't... It's just, the tone of it is just so different.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we should move on to Sony.
Yeah. So everybody generally liked Xbox's press conference.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That was cool. And then everybody has this weird orgasmic experience at Sony's press conference.
Well, because they open it with What's his face? I forget his name. Who's the, you know, the main guy at Sony these days? I remember thinking that, man, I wish Jack Tretton was still here. Like, yeah, that would be so funny if he was doing this. But they just opened the show with Last Guardian. Like, it exists.
Yes, it does. Yeah. It is a real thing.
And they said, you know, they put a year on it. They're like, next year.
So, like, of all the press conferences I didn't go to, like, I skipped two or something. This one was the one I didn't go to. So, like, I'm at, like, a hotel rooftop bar because I just need Wi-Fi because I have, like, obligations later that night. And I find a bar, and it's full of, like, young douchebags.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, watching, and they reveal the Last Guardian, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is happening. And everyone around me, like, they have no idea. They have no idea what's happening right now.
You don't understand. You're basically looking at the Ark of the Covenant right now, like, guys.
Yeah, like, enjoying your fucking gin gimlet. Like, you are missing out on a transformational press conference.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I mean, everyone's long suffering. And
I said
right?
It wasn't real. I said it was not going to happen.
I mean, I've heard that they actually have given people controllers and let them play through that demo. So I mean,
yeah. Oh, I'm done. Like, I watched the reveal.
Yeah.
The trailer, which actually shows some gameplay anyway, has this like majestic moment where he gets caught by the tail or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wish I had never seen that. Like, yeah. I'm never going to play it. And you know what? Let's be honest. This game might not be good.
No,
it's
been
in development for a really long time.
Yes.
But it's just, it's so hard to understate how important Ico was to me.
Yeah.
And so I am so excited.
They were also very gracious to Ueda. He was there in the audience, and they were like, everyone give a hand to Fumito Ueda. And he stood out, and it got me thinking about Kojima, because like, Kojima is basically dead to Konami, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I wonder what the relationship actually is between, because Ueda left the project several years ago. And
Kojima's just hidden under the stage in a bunker.
It's just kind of like, to see that game that's been like kind of worked on now for like a decade or something, you know, is
2009 or something like that, right?
I mean, they have been showing teasers since then, at least. And seeing that stuff kind of come to the fore is rewarding. Like you said, it might not be a great game, but there's almost like a closure aspect that needs to happen on it.
Really get it out of there. I need to finally sleep.
So I thought that was cool. I was very happy to see that. What else we got at Sony? What else was happening?
Oh, man. They announced, well, I mean, I don't know if we want to skip ahead to the other.
We probably should. We should do all the fanboy stuff right away. Yeah.
Because that's what really got everybody jazzed, right?
Yeah. Which is weird. So let's do the background. So,
well, Sony was the one who announced the Final Fantasy remake, right?
Yeah. They announced the Final Fantasy remake.
Which looks cool. I mean, the cinematic.
The cinematic looks good, and I mean, you know, if you get right down to it, one of the reasons why Final Fantasy VII was so popular was because of the cinematics, so I guess that's they're, true. Like, being faithful to that. I'm not actually sure why people want that.
I mean, you can play Final Fantasy VII now.
Right. It's on Steam. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I guess, I mean, half the reason why I like Final Fantasy is because I like going back to that point in my life when I played Final Fantasy VII for the first time. And, like, seeing the environments and hearing the music and stuff. Like, I don't know if I want a remake.
My one optimistic point of view would be that this gives them the opportunity to add in things. Like, to actually change it and have it be a different experience.
Like Blitzball.
Sure. Like, they could... Yeah, they're going to add in Blitzball. They can add in all sorts... Titus is just in it now. He's just...
Hey, guys!
It's actually... Everyone is still going to have the weird bodies from Final Fantasy IX. You know, it's an opportunity for them to do more than just retouch it, right? Like, they can add cool stuff. They can add little, you know, hints at greater story or, you know, or whatever. Mm. It gives them an opportunity to maybe do things that they wanted to do but did not have the capacity to do when they first made Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
So... Maybe that will be good. I think the other side of it is just people have played this game so many times, and in their memory, it's so vibrant.
Yeah.
And then when they go back to it, and they're like, oh, wait, this isn't as vibrant as...
Cloud is made of, like, seven triangles, and that's
right.
It.
Like, in their imagination, the world of Final Fantasy VII is so much more robust.
Yeah.
So to see it enlivened in that visual way might actually be a really compelling reason to revisit what is actually a really good game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That might otherwise scare people off. I mean, that and just the ability to say, hey, you know, maybe there are people who were born after Final Fantasy VII came out.
Yeah, it's true.
Who are old enough to now play this and be really into it. So who knows? You know, maybe there's a new audience that would have never played the game and now have a chance of revisiting Final Fantasy history and JRPG history in a new way.
There are people graduating high school that weren't around for the first release of Final Fantasy VII.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, that is a good point. Speaking of games where people were not born when they first came out, so I never played Shenmue.
Me neither.
I never had a Dreamcast. But it's been like one of those.
But nevertheless, I have a Shenmue tattoo on my
side. I know, that's the thing. Like, I feel like there are more Shenmue fans than ever played the game, just by mathematics alone.
I use Shen as my avatar, and all the time people ask me if it's from Shenmue.
Yeah, I mean, it's the cult that has grown around that game is mysterious and incredible. I kind of admire it because it's just like a long, it's kind of like Raiders fans. They're just like a long suffering, like group of people that like,
and like we, you know, and we know the Raiders dream will never come true. So
wait, once my Kickstarter gets launched, I get my draft pick.
You know, the question is like, at some point people just, it became a running joke. Like Shenmue 3 was never going to come out.
Yeah.
And that was okay. Like it had bypassed, this is beyond The Last Guardian wait.
Yeah.
Like, this is beyond all of that.
Yeah.
To a whole new realm. And then they announced it and people flipped their shit.
Yeah.
Can we see what the Kickstarter is right now?
Oh, yeah. Let's as we record, we are going to look up, because they launched it during the press conference.
Yes.
And it was, so I wanted to talk about this because this is one of our soapboxes that we get on a lot about Kickstarter stuff.
At this point, by the way, at the press conference, I'm pretty sure half the audience is literally whipping out
their phone right now and they're like, okay.
Oh, I was going to say their penises.
Oh, okay, yeah. Like, it is, penis in one hand, phone in the other.
From the way it sounded like Revelations was beginning and its epicenter was in Los Angeles at the Sony press conference. Yeah. Like the amount of...
I always knew the world would end in LA.
This is how it begins.
Yeah, this is
Shenmue 3.
Yeah.
I also find this one of the most flabbergasting, absurd... Why are we announcing Kickstarter games at a press conference?
Yeah. Well, I mean, now I'm sure that they've hit their... So they were asking for $2 million, and they have currently 3.5, or we're recording this early in the week.
44,000 backers.
With 25 days to go. So this is going to be probably like a $4 or $5 million Kickstarter at least.
One of the really optimistic metrics was like, if it continues the way it was going, it was projected to be like $18 million like that.
Right. I don't know if it'll hit like a Star Citizen style level, but this is going to be, you know, this could easily be a $5 million Kickstarter.
Right.
But, I mean, I feel like maybe, and it's clear that this is one of those Kickstarters that is there as a proof of concept so that they can get Sony's money or somebody's money.
Well, I mean, I'm sure Sony's already committed some funds.
Maybe. Or well, now they are.
They must have been, though. Like, you don't... Here's what I don't get, right? By the logic of, oh, this is just a way for them to test the waters and make sure that there's interest, right? Mm. If that were true, that would imply that there's some risk involved. That there might not be interest. The people might not end up actually backing the Kickstarter or wanting this game up to the point that you are asking, right?
Yep.
Now, if that risk were real, I do not think that they would waste press conference time revealing it. Like, I just don't buy that the stage that they're on, the time that it's taking, is costing more than they'll ever get on this Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I just have a really hard time believing that they'll use space on an unproven concept. Like, they must have known that this was going to be a really big hit, that it was going to be popular.
Yeah.
I'm sure they already, you know, committed to X amount of funding. I just have a really hard time believing that if this were genuinely a risky investment, that they would have spent time on stage announcing it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I really think this is one of those things, kind of like the Rare thing that we just talked about. The scale of this is sliding. Like, depending on how much money they get, they're probably willing to...
So they're like, we'll give you $5 million for every $1 million you raise.
I would not be at all surprised, right? I mean, it's kind of like what happened to the Double Fine Kickstarter,
right?
That's
so weird, though.
You know, like, they started off with something very, very small in scope and eventually ratcheted up and up and up till, like, Elijah Wood was in the game. You know, like, it's... I kind of see what they're doing, even though I, like you, I feel like, well, they're clearly going to commit something to this, but now maybe they'll commit more.
I don't know. I think that they probably already made their commitment.
I mean, they made, what I'm saying is they made a basement commitment. Like, they made a floor. Like, we will commit up to this much, and now it's like, prove to us that you need a development team of 10 people instead of 7. You know?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just find it so sketchy that they're basically doing this thing. I mean, E3 is already a place where people shill games that do not exist yet.
Yeah.
This is like...
This is a game that's not even paid for yet.
Yeah, this is absurd. Like, it's so absurd. And we're essentially pre-ordering this game that doesn't exist at a conference about games that don't exist yet. Like, I just feel like we're in this weird...
We gotta go deeper.
We're in this weird other world, like, it's Kickstarter all the way down kind of thing. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And I think there are a lot of other compelling ways. Like, look, they have a hefty marketing team that could have easily done some survey data and crunched the numbers to figure out exactly what interest people have in Shenmue 3 from their core audience.
Yeah.
You know, like... People aren't dumb. Like, they have all access to all sorts of crazy data on consumers. And there are way more easier... well, maybe not easier, but there are other ways of learning whether or not there's interest in a Shenmue 3 beyond this.
Yeah.
Not only can they do all of their sort of backdoor analytics, they could do, you know, a charity campaign, or they could do, you know, like, what are those fucking... like letters to Congress stuff.
Oh, they're gonna do a change.org.
Sure, petition. Like change.org, like demand Shenmue
3. We demand from Yu Suzuki. We demand you recognize Yu Suzuki.
Sure, like if they'd gone up on stage and said, you know, Yu Suzuki is making Shenmue 3. It's coming. We've already funded it, but you can help prove that this is a valuable thing by going to change.org/Shenmue 3 or whatever.
This guy needs graph paper.
Like, who knows? Sure, like whatever, right? The idea, though, is like there are better ways than exploiting the Kickstarter system to give money towards a game that I think already has plenty of funding to be made.
Mm. Yeah.
With proven interest.
Yeah. That being said, I will take a selfie with Yu Suzuki after I paid my $10,000 to have dinner with him. And you'll be sad that you'll miss it.
I like that having dinner with Yu Suzuki is as much as... is
also,
as
we expensive. Can't communicate with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no promise of a translator. Yeah. I love that is the exact same price as Ryo's jacket.
Yeah.
Like, so dinner with Yu Suzuki or a badass jacket.
That's a quality leather. Quality leather patent.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but ideally you want to throw down $20K and go to dinner with Suzuki.
With the jacket?
With the fucking jacket on. You know, so he knows, like, look.
I'm spilling mustard on it. Oh, sorry.
I take this shit seriously. One children's menu, please.
Oh, man. Okay, what else we got with Sony? I missed the title of this game. And so I just wrote down, that crazy robot dinosaur game.
Oh, Horizon Zero?
But then I realized, Horizon Zero Dawn. And again, it was like a brand new surprise. I was like, oh, cool. Like, a brand new game, not another franchise. Like, it doesn't look like a weird online multiplayer shooter.
Yep.
Like, it just looks like a
strong
cool game.
Strong female protagonist. Yeah.
I was really excited
to see
that. I
like dinosaurs, and I like robots.
Yeah.
Double whammy.
Yeah, harvesting them. Like,
although I don't entirely get what... So are the dinosaurs eating the grass... And then transferring that grass into, like...
I don't know, man. And like, what is she doing? Like, she's, like, harvesting the parts from them and, like, creating other,
the
like...
fuel or whatever.
Yeah. It's kind of like...
Mother Gaia's sweet juice.
I admire a unashamedly sci-fi thing, you know? Like, just go for it. I like seeing something new, something that's not another existing franchise. I'm really looking forward to
especially
that game.
Especially one that's as big and like...
It looks huge.
Yeah.
It
looks cool.
Kind of like it looks similar to something like the scale you'd get with Monster Hunter or Bloodborne or something, except that like you have this other... You have a more open world look to it or something. Yeah. I thought that game looked really, really cool.
And some of the like dark aspects of it looked rad too.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Let's see, what else we got from Sony?
The Last Guardian.
Last Guardian, we love that. Media Molecule looks like they're doing some really weird thing about, like, drawing pictures and stitching them together with other people that are also drawing pictures.
I don't think I got what that game is.
I don't think anyone really got what that game is, but I like the fact that Sony is still willing to just kind of put up very strange things on stage.
Yeah.
Let's see, any other big things that I'm missing out on? They had some No Man's Sky actual, like, a person playing it.
I still don't believe that's going to be fun.
I mean, it didn't look all that fun, but I admire them doing a live demo of it.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be one of those games where some people get really into it and the rest of us just kind of read stories about it, kind of like Eve or whatever.
Yeah.
They
had Uncharted 4.
Yeah. Oh, man, that I was getting flop sweats when I was watching that because, like, their controller was broken or something.
Oh, and yeah.
They, like, and they restarted it. My joke on Twitter, and I'm going to say it again, is that I'm really looking forward to fucking up that sequence 20 times in a row and having to replay that stupid chase scene a million times. Like,
I tweeted something too. I'm not going to repeat it. But what I will say, though, is that's how you write, like, funny dialogue.
Yeah.
Though, like, the dialogue that they're... I did mention it before. Like, I think that Drake looks like he's having as much fun in his games as I have fun in his games. Mm-hmm. That is something that's really cool and is missing from a lot of those stage presentations. You know, we see things that are super dark and people get that, but the funny stuff, the jovial stuff, like, I think Naughty Dog is still so on the ball for that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, like, Sony, like they usually have, they had a bunch of independent stuff. I mean, I think the most fun thing to see is the Camposanto stuff,
yeah,
like being on stage, because, like, you know, they're hometown guys, we've met them before.
Firewatch,
like, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of, it's cool to see that. And then that's why it was so hilarious to see, like, the Steve thing, and then, like, the next one, it's like, and here's Firewatch on our huge screen. Yeah. I thought that was pretty fun.
I'm glad it's coming to PS4 too. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. I don't know. What else? Did we miss anything from Sony here? This is mostly what I wrote down.
Those were the big ones. I mean, I think people were busy having seizures to watch any of the rest. Oh, man. So.
Yeah. Okay, let's wrap up. Let's talk about... we'll do some leftovers here, and we'll do Nintendo. Because I watched the Nintendo one where they just had the Nintendo Direct where everyone was watching it.
I missed a lot of the Nintendo stuff. I did see puppets,
yeah,
which was pretty great.
That's my first note. I said, my first note says, these fucking puppets are amazing. Like, it's just so strange. Like,
you know what I really want? I want Reggie Fils-Aimé's amiibo. That is a puppet amiibo. Mind blown. Just
puppets on amiibos. They announced another Star Fox that's being put out.
That game looks really not good, by the way.
I think, like, Platinum was working on it, too.
I don't know. I apparently, from what I hear, the controls are really rubbish. And Nintendo was tweeting out, like, people are on the E3 show floor loving this game and its controls. Like, desperate move, guys.
Well, because isn't the thing where they have, like, a cockpit view in the tablet or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It also just looks... It just doesn't look very good.
I noticed that. I was, like... I was quite surprised that they didn't... I think it might
still be running off of the... Off of, like, an old system.
It did look very much like something you would see in, like, N64? A GameCube or something. Yeah. Like, I mean, it doesn't help that the N64 Star Fox was an exceptionally good-looking N64 game.
Sure.
And the aesthetic of Star Fox is that sleekness, so you don't get a lot of texture.
Polygonal.
I didn't like the look of the new, like, chibi Metroid game that they put out.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I wish they would just kind of... I wish they would revisit Metroid as, like, an intense side-scrolling experience.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure what they're going for there. But, I mean, the nice thing is most of their stuff is 2015 stuff, which is, you know, not the case with a lot of other folks. They had Mario Tennis that was up there. I thought that looked actually pretty cool.
Yeah, Mario Tennis is a cool game.
Yeah, and it seems like they're...
Plus, there's like a 10-foot Princess Peach.
I know, they had these huge characters. I don't even know what was going on, but, like, Nintendo's been on a good roll with their historical franchises. let's see. They, think... Oh, yeah, the Yoshi thing?
Yoshi's Woolly World?
Yeah.
That game looks really good.
Yeah, I mean, like, the aesthetic of it looks amazing. Yeah.
Well, and I'm a fan of... Well, one, I think that the video that they showed of... I forget her name.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's one of the... she's on the development team or whatever. Or something. Yeah.
Was really good and effective. Like, yeah. I got the charm of the Woolly World. Yeah. I really enjoyed the plush amiibo. Oh, I'm not going to be able to get one, but I want one so bad. All that stuff looks great, I think. And I really enjoyed Kirby's... What is it? Kirby's
Epic Yarn. Yeah.
Really great aesthetic, but it was a little bit too easy.
Yeah.
And they specifically mentioned, like, umping up some of the difficulty in Woolly World, especially with the co-op mode.
Yeah.
And that seems, like, right on my alley. Like, if I could get that same aesthetic, but have the sort of more you know, self-challenging feel that Mario brings to the table, I think that game could be really great. Also, my Samus amiibo works on it to give it like a Samus skin. Like,
That was actually pretty funny. Oh my god,
so adorable.
Did you notice? I think it was, I want to say it was Skylanders. They're making amiibos for Skylanders now. Yeah.
Well, there's like a Bowser one. Where you could like switch the code from Skylanders into amiibos.
The unholy union of Skylanders and
the
amiibos.
The dark breed. Yeah. Like, that's genius. That's a great idea. If you want money.
They they announced another Paper Mario plus Super Mario RPG.
Yeah, what's going on there?
People were pretty excited about that because they like those two franchises. It's been something that I've never been super into just because I kind of miss that generation of the handhelds.
Is there like an existential crisis going on though between Mario's?
Yeah, the flat people are invading the 3D people or whatever. I thought that looked pretty interesting. I mean, I think the thing that really stole the show, and the thing that stole like much of E3 for me, because I actually watched the Nintendo World Championships before, was Mario Maker.
Yeah.
That game looks interesting, incredible.
It's funny because I feel like the general sentiment at E3 this year was that Nintendo didn't have much to show off.
I don't think they had like much new stuff to show off. Right. Like they didn't have a new Super Mario.
Yeah, or Zelda. Like, the Zelda. Yeah.
Zelda like is there. 2016. They're not saying anything about it. You know, like.
Right.
But like, the Mario Maker stuff looks incredible.
I think it's really cool. Oh my god, the old drawings.
Yes.
God, how much would you give for like a collection of those?
When I was watching that, like seeing like Miyamoto like take, oh, here's the graph paper I drew the original levels on, like. What? It was like, this belongs in a museum.
This belongs in a museum. 100%. Yeah. I was like, oh my god. If I could, I would spend more money on buying like a collector's book of those drawings.
An art book of
that. I could like frame on my wall.
Yeah.
Like over the game itself. Keep Mario Maker. Give me those graph paper.
I mean, when I was watching that sequence of them just like going through those old like primary sources of Mario, I was like, you guys should probably be wearing gloves when you're touching these things. Like, I mean, this is kind of like watching, like, I don't know, this sounds like super douchey, but like, pick your most famous artist or whatever. It's like, oh, we found some Picasso rough drafts. It's like, you wouldn't just kind of like show those, you know, like you would be like really careful about it. Like,
you know what they should have done is they should have like recreated them and then trolled us by having Miyamoto like spill coffee. Like, oh, oops, looks like you'll have to make this again in Mario World. Like, no!
I really hated these riff.
I do think that though, the video, the booklet that it comes with.
Yeah.
That's in the right vibe, I think, for getting people into the mindset of making Mario levels.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just copying a Mario level, like, I feel like there's a really cool opportunities for learning there. I've already seen some people say, oh, yeah, they want to incorporate that into their like design curriculum for students and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, not only is Mario, you know, known for famously known for amazing level design, but I think that you could do some really cool stuff with that, you know?
Yeah.
Not only the sort of crazy bullet hell nightmare landscape that is like crazy Mario modifications.
That was what the Nintendo World Championship was. So the last two players, the champion, the last challenge was going through like asshole Mario levels.
As far as you can?
No way. It was like the Nintendo team had created custom super crazy Mario levels.
Holy cow.
And they were like, you know, we're timing you and whoever gets through these first gets this amount of points and like this amount of handicap. And so like, it's like those ROM hacks that you see, except that they're actually doing it in the game. And it just looks great. Like the interface of it looks really clever.
And they even showed some things that you haven't seen before, right?
Yeah.
Like they showed putting one of the bullet firing machines.
Yeah.
On top of like Goombas and stuff.
Exactly. Or like you attach wings to it and it starts flying around.
Right. Like those are some cool interactions we haven't seen before that you could actually use to design like cool new levels.
Yeah.
So while I don't think that I'll probably be making anything crazy in that game, I still think it'll be exciting to play.
And they said some good stuff about the actual social aspect. Mm-hmm. Like what they're saying is there's gonna be a fairly robust like upload your level type thing, you know, following different creators or in order to upload your level, you have to prove that you can beat the level, so you can't just upload broken levels.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so...
So to design the really hard ones, you also have to be very good
at it. Yeah, exactly. Wow. So, like, you have to prove that this level works, and then you can upload it. And so I think that it was a market improvement from when they first released news of that game, and they also showed that you can have physics and tile sets from the various series.
Yeah.
So you have Super Mario World or 3 or the original. Like, right.
But do you have faith that Nintendo will do the social sharing stuff well?
I mean,
so much hinges upon you being able to access and filter levels to find the ones that you want.
Yeah.
Let alone a compelling enough experience for people to create and upload them.
I mean, I feel like that's the only reason this game exists. So hopefully, yes, because that's like the main... That's like the main use of this game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've had fits and starts with, like, the Miiverse stuff, but, like, we've seen, like, with Splatoon and with even, like, some of the early ones around, like, Wind Waker and all that, like, there's a definite, like, viral meme-like quality to Nintendo's online ecosystem that they just don't channel very well. You know, like, they don't really know what to do with it, but this game seems like an opportunity to actually put it to use.
Yeah.
You know? I was hearing someone say, like, you know what they should do is they should just have, like, Miyamoto make some levels and just see how popular they get. Like,
that's like, a great
like, see,
idea.
Like, just masquerade. Like, kind of like a king walking amongst the peasants. Like, see if he's actually, like, still popular as a level designer or whatever. Yeah.
People, like, vote him down.
Yeah, it's like, this is garbage levels.
It feels old.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool. I liked the look of that a lot. And just seeing the... If you have a chance out there, like, take a look at some of the last competitions from the Nintendo World Championships. And, like, there were times where, like, you go through a door and the door leads you to just, like, a bullet hell of levels. And the guys were just like, nope, and went back in the door and, like, started running away. Like, there's just a lot of, like, that's really cool, great, like, non-linear Mario levels to make.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. Yeah. Oh, because you could sort of teleport to different parts of the level.
Exactly.
Oh, so you could make, like, a Haunted Mansion level.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it was. And there was, like, there was one that they made where...
I always love those when the, like, doors are fake and they don't go anywhere. Yeah.
And there's, like, coins that spelled out, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, like, which door to go in and stuff like that. So you're, like, keeping track of where you're going and stuff. Like,
interesting.
Yeah, I mean that game just has a lot of promise, and I think, like I said, if Nintendo can capture some of that weird online vibe that it has,
yeah,
I think it can do well.
Neat.
All right, this conference has been almost as long as a press conference. What else did we leave out? Was there any like little hidden gems that we saw?
We touched on some of the big indie ones. Yeah, I mean, Beyond Eyes looks really great.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that game a lot.
Cuphead looks really cool.
Mm-hmm. Morpheus on top of an Oculus on top of a Microsoft.
Dude, there's all sorts of other AR. VR too, where it's like you just like, I don't know who buys like fourth party.
Yeah, like the Starbreeze one. Like you know, I mean, I heard that they're Walking Dead
farming simulator demo was there. Thank God.
Oh, Dark Souls 3 was there.
Oh man. See, that's another one where I actually did not watch the trailer.
No, because you're like, I'm going to play this anyway.
But they had a Dark Souls, maybe I'll add the picture to the post, but they have a Dark Souls blood fountain.
I saw someone shoot a vine of that, and there was like actual liquid coming out
like,
of it.
It was a fountain. Yeah. Like a splattering. It was so Dark Souls, I was like, man, that is A+ right there.
The most metal video game.
So metal, like sword plunging in, but he's in an act of like prayer as blood squirts up like 7 feet in the sky.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, I think it took a while for the new consoles to get ramped up longer than people thought. Maybe
I think people thought that this was what last year was going to be like.
Yeah,
like oh, we've had them for a while.
Yeah,
but yeah,
and we're getting to the point where it's no longer about the look what changes we did to the UI. I mean, I guess there's a little bit of that, like that Microsoft put out their Pro Controller or whatever that they're putting out there.
Which actually looks pretty freaking cool.
I mean, yeah, and apparently that price is not actually that crazy. Like
$150?
Yeah, like I was reading, because people who buy custom controllers, like pro game controllers, already do this stuff, and I was reading people talk on Twitter, it's like actually $150 is pretty reasonable for what a pro gaming controller actually is. Yeah. And I didn't think it was going to be that expensive. And then when I first saw it, I was like, oh, I'm never going to buy this. You know?
No. I mean, I wonder if it'll actually give a competitive advantage for some people.
I mean, I like the idea of like, oh, you know, I'm playing a shooter, so I don't want to have to click in the thing. I just want it to go, great. You know.
Like, or even like the paddles. Buttons. Yeah. The paddles. And again, like for disabled gamers, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And like, but yeah, and not only that, but just like being able to switch around the layouts. Yeah,
I
and
mean,
like,
button mapping. Like, yeah. That's something that very few games have built in. Yeah. So to have them being able to build it into the controller is pretty cool.
Yeah. But like, but even that goes to the theme of actually playing games.
Yeah.
Not like for the first time in several years, all the companies were telling players, like, okay, here's why you want to play this. Here are all these games. Not like, here's why you want to play this. Look at this ecosystem. Like, no one gives a shit about the ecosystem, right? Sure. So it's like,
I care about ecosystems.
Well, I mean, you care about ecosystems in the way that, like, okay, hopefully Xbox Live works, and hopefully you can download things on Mario Maker, and hopefully you can, like... And now it's like... And there was even something in the Microsoft Splatoon press conference. There was like, hey, if you've ever thought about getting an Xbox One, now's the time. And because, like, yes, please buy an Xbox One. Do you want to play your 360 games? Done. Okay, fine.
Yeah, please.
Like, do you want a crazy controller? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Do you want new stuff? Yeah. How about a new Gears and a new Halo and a robot game? That's fine. Like, like everything there was not about, like, how about a TV show? Or how about your cable boxes in your Xbox? Like, like all that stuff has been jettisoned, and I could not be happier to see that stuff go. You know, like...
Yeah, you and a lot of other people.
Yeah. We are back to playing video games.
Can I get my Hot Pocket... gamer tag. Also, how many gamer points is this?
That's right.
Because the rare collection was like 10,000.
Right, exactly. Points. I need to like really bump up my gamer points. Also, how about my like replaceable like face trays or whatever on the Xbox?
But it's funny. I went to the Beyond Eyes demo, and they gave out Xbox One skins for Beyond Eyes. It was like the most gamer thing for this is like the most subtle
independent.
Like, I went home and I put it on my Xbox One controller and it like didn't fit right and so I just ripped it off and threw it away.
And it's like they brought out that lady who was like talking about the philosophy of what they're doing, blah blah, and here's some sick skins.
It's just like six skins, yeah.
Like what?
Pretty great.
I don't know. You can't get away from all the E3 stuff. That's just how it is.
A lot of it is coming out next year though. So much of what we've seen is just like it'll come.
2016.
Yeah, Mass Effect, Mirror's Edge 2, Gears is God knows when.
2016 is gonna be a pretty big year, I feel like, in terms of that. I mean, some of that stuff, 2015 turned into a big year, like what with Bloodborne, Batman, and like a few other things that are coming later on. Yeah.
Battlefront.
But I think, you know, we're finally kind of hitting that stride, so it was good to see that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So, super long E3 press conference.
We did it. I'm still alive.
Yeah, barely alive after all that.
I sound like Batman afterwards.
I'm cosplaying Arkham Knights. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address if you want to reach us.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our hazmat suit safe area.
Yeah, it's our vault.
It's our vault 111. Again, come back next week. We've got the final Earthbound debrief.
Yep.
Play along with us.
Yep. All right. Until next week, everyone, thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.